This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome back onto the Kona Edge. It's good to have you with us, and it's time to chat some swimming. And we head to Melbourne, Australia, where Nathan Shearer joins us. Nathan, welcome back onto the podcast. Thanks for chatting to us today.
Thanks, Brad. Thanks for having me.
Nathan, you've made some big gains in the water over your fairly short sort of Ironman career. It's been a pretty intense sort of rise. You've gotten much quicker.
Yeah, it has. It's meteoric, some would say, but it's not without hard work.
Yeah, in the water it would be called motorboatish.
Yes, well, I don't know about that.
Let's talk about some of those gains. I mean, well, can you put it down to one thing that you've done that you think has given you, or I mean, let's say one thing you've done over your Ironman career that's given you the maximum sort of benefits and improvements in the water?
Yeah, the biggest change I made, which improved my swimming out of sight, was nothing to do with actually swimming. It was all mental. I changed my mental approach and my perception of swimming, and really recalibrated what I needed to do to become a swimmer per se. And that was the biggest change I ever made, and it's paid dividends times heaps in the last probably 12 months.
Can you tell me a little bit more? Like, I mean, what did you actually change from a mental perspective?
Yeah. So I when I first started, I was pretty much like every other triathlete who's starting out. I hated swimming. I didn't come from a swim background. I didn't swim as a kid. I'd never done squad. And you know, ask anyone, any amateur triathlete who doesn't come from a swim background. And if there's a session they miss during the week, it's a swim. And I was the same. I couldn't mentally get excited about swimming. It was the chore of the three sports. And I didn't give it enough respect, because I sort of got to a certain point and the gains started to get really small. And I got a bit complacent with that for a season, a summer. It wasn't until I did Melbourne the second time, and I had a decent swim, but I was still like nearly 10 minutes behind the front age groupers, and I qualified for Kona, and it was that kind of kicked me into gear with changing my mental approach to swimming. It was, all right, if I really want to progress in this sport and I'm serious about it, you know, I've got to take swimming more seriously, and I've got to give it more respect and treat it, give it more importance. So I changed how often I was swimming. I didn't change what I was doing a lot, but I definitely got more consistent in the water. So I started swimming 5, 6, 7 sessions a week as opposed to 3 or 4 maybe. And honestly, that changed everything. I started to really enjoy it, because that consistency afforded better feel for the water. I was able to swim consistently better with less effort. And then I started to get enjoyment out of that. Like, it was, you know, I'm getting better. This is, that kind of competitiveness kicked in. Like, I can see progress and I can see where I'm headed, and it became addictive.
And I mean, from a time perspective, if you look at your first Ironman Melbourne swim time to what you did recently in New Zealand, I mean, you've taken just over 10 minutes off your swim time in an Ironman swim, which is incredible.
Yeah. In a pretty much bang on a 2-year period. So, you know, first Melbourne to second Melbourne, I think I took 6 minutes off, and that was going from just being a competitor to trying to race. I put a bit more importance on it, but I still didn't have that, all right, this is really important, I need to be nailing consistent swimming. I sort of did more volume, but it was still inconsistent. And I got quicker just from having another year of swimming behind me. But, yeah, I think I was afforded some pretty nice conditions that day, whereas in New Zealand I had 12 months probably of very specific, very consistent swimming behind me. I think that made all the difference.
Well, if you have to put it down to one workout, what's your favorite set to do in the water?
My favorite set? Pre-Kona, there's probably two. Pre-Kona, I was doing 8 to 10 to 12 200s, like, threshold. So basically as fast as you could hold all 10 or 12. And it sucked. Like, it was the hardest swim I did all week. But I did it, always did it by myself and always really pushed myself to be better every time. I think mentally that was like amazing for me because I didn't feel like I needed the squad to push me to swim those times. I was able to do it on my own, no one to help, no one to pace or anything. That was probably one before Kona that I loved. And then probably for New Zealand, I started doing a lot more paddles work just to get the strength there. So, the long endurance, like, you know, 10 times 400 off of a pretty hard time cycle, which for me is about 6 minutes. Paddles pull 6 minute cycles for 400 times 10. That was pretty hard and pretty tough, but more aerobic endurance, not as max heart rate. So yeah, that was probably my other one.
Awesome stuff. Nathan Scherer, thank you so much for joining us once again on the Kona Edge. Look forward to catching up next time to find out what you've done on the bike, but we'll save that for another day. Thanks for your time, mate.
No worries. Cheers, bud.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. If you want to improve your swim, be sure to check out our next free live online swim seminar. Get to theKonaEdge.com/swimseminar to sign up now.